Reish Samach Gimel talks about Yelet Shehu Odoi Mayoruk, red and green babies. Mishabonav Mason Machmas Mila. Talks about medical reasons to not make a bris. As many of you know, the Gemara brings that Rav Nosson Holoch Akrochei Hayam. Rav Nosson once visited the outer cities, and the mother came to him and said that her sons die machmas mila. She can't do a bris. The mother brought her third, her newborn son. So the Gemara says, "Hestakel bai." Rav Nosson looked at the baby, and he saw that the baby was yoruk. So he said, "Oh, he's yoruk. So therefore, just wait until the color turns to normal. Do the bris, and he'll live." And that's what they did, and they called him Nosson HaBavli Al Shemai. Gemara brings a second incident with another baby who was red, who was Edom. The same exact story. And he saw that he was red. He said, "Wait until his color turns normal, do a bris, and all will be fine and well." Now, I don't know what looking red means. I don't think, it seems to me that hemophiliac babies don't look red. So I don't know exactly what it means, and I don't think waiting helps for a baby who has hemophilia. So I don't know what turning red is. But turning yoruk, we all know, refers to a baby who has jaundice. And therefore, we're going to learn sefalif in regard to such a child. Now, I want to be magdim, one of the favorite topics in my house. We've discussed often the fact that in modern Hebrew, yoruk is green, and kachol is blue. What do they use for yellow?
Tzahov
is yellow. Now that, like many words in modern Hebrew, is not true in Lashon Kodesh. In Lashon Kodesh, kachol is not blue. Kachol is a name of an eye makeup of some sort. And I guess when they had to come up with a word for blue, which you don't find in Tanakh, so they figured, well, what else are you going to use for eye coloring? Therefore, they're going to use blue.
It
may or may not be blue. We don't know. We're imagining that since today blue eyes are in style, there must be they use blue. Who knows? In Lashon Kodesh, yoruk is used for green, yellow, and blue, for all three. It's used for all three. Tosfos and Nida daf yutes. Now, Reisman's not saying this. Tosfos Nida yutes says yoruk does not mean green. If Chazal meant green, they say yoruk kakarti. They say yoruk like a vegetable, like a leek. Yoruk kakarti is green. Yoruk by itself, it appears in Tosfos, refers to yellow. Esther yerak reikis haisa does not mean she was green, like an alien, like they have the pictures in some of the coloring books. I mean, she was yellow, which is also a little alien to the Jews, but at least they are yellow-tinged people in the world. And the Zohar says that the minhag is to take a yellow esrig, dafka, because Esther, Yerak Reikis Hava, so the minhag is to take a yellow esrig. So we don't have a minhag to dafka take a green esrig. The Mishnah says a green esrig is possible. And the Gemara says if it's going to turn yellow, it's kosher. But the yoruk refers to green. In Yerideya, we have in a number of places Beferish, the reference of yoruk. We have in Hilchas Treifis, Simin Lamed Chesif Aleph. It says if the lung, it refers to a lung that's yoruk, and it says it's yoruk, chelmoin beya, like the yellow of an egg. And the yellow of an egg is no green. There are no green eggs except by Dr. Seuss. And it's a yellow. It's yellow. It says kechal mein beya. That's what it says there in Shulchan Aruch. And also in the Hilchis Maris, the Simen Kuf Peches refers to yoruk as a gold color, as a color that's kizav, that's gold. Obviously, yoruk is some combination of the color spectrum. I'm not big into color, so I don't know why blue, green, and yellow would have one name, but kachem advarim. Green is popular because yurakais are greens, are vegetables.
So the three primary colors are blue, red, and yellow. So blue and yellow make green. They're together.
That explains it.
What
was that to do? All right, I'll give you another marabakim. Darach HaShulchan, the beginning of Reish Samach Gimel. If you look at Darach HaShulchan, He starts the simon by saying yaruk, and he says there. He says right here there are three yaruks: yellow, green, and blue. Mashakar in blue, blaze, lamid, vav, yud, like wow, you know. That so yaruk in Lashon Kodesh refers to green. I agree. It's confusing today in Israel. They gave different names. I don't blame them. It's easier. But I remember the first time I saw the word kachayil was in the library in the Mir Yeshiva. I didn't know kachayil means blue. And then, you know, I look at the index for the color coding of the svarim. It says kachayil. I didn't know what kachayil meant. You know, I didn't know why eye makeup would be in the library in the Mir Yeshiva. So I said, no, kachayil is blue. And purple, they have a different word for purple. Not Hargaman.
Segal.
They use for purple. So these are arbitrary names. And in Lashon Kodesh, Yorick, it's a good Maramachim. It's a Taisus, neither your test, and it's at least a few places in Shulchan Aruch. It says that what does it say about Cheles? It says that it's the color of the Yam. Yam.
Rashi says like the night sky, like the night
sky. I don't know that it says Yaruk by Tcheles. I don't know. It says Bloy in the Ramah and in the here in the Archa Shulchan.
Bile.
I have no idea. It's clear. It's green. Therefore, I don't know. Oh, here, you mean here in the... Well, when we say we look at a baby who's drawn this, I think we usually call him looking yellow. So, apparently, when the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Kodesh Hu Yaruk, I would assume it means yellow. Even though I know if I sit here and Taish Yaruk yellow, everyone will be shocked. So that's why I'm being magnim, that's what Taishas says. Taishas says green is when it says Yaruk Akarti. And it says, when it says Stam Yaruk, so then Yaruk is... Now, Rashi and Shas generally on Yoruk says either Kakarti or Kehadaso, and it means green. The Gemara, even if the Gemara just says Yoruk, that's Rashi's tendency to add that explanation. So be that as it may, let's go to Shulchan Aruch. Kodeshu Yoruk, a child, we'll translate this to mean a child who looks yellow. Simen Shalai Nafal Baidamai. It's a sign that his blood has not settled. His blood has not developed. And we don't do a bris milah until his color turns normal like other children. And again, I don't know what it means. You can have a ruddy colored baby, a complexion, a very red complexion. The blood is not fully absorbed. He's more prone to bleeding. It sounds more like a hemophilia type baby, but it doesn't make sense here. Between the skin and the flesh. A blood clot or a black and blue mark. Maybe? Okay. I can't hear you, I'm sorry. That what? All right, so there are conditions then that it would make sense. Okay, good. So Eimal and Isiach Shaliv Labidama Vitzarch Mizar Ma'ay Beilu Advarim Sheimal and Vach Yesh Bechashash Chayli. Now the last words of Sif Aleph are very, very difficult. I don't know what to do with it. It's a Lashon HaRambam. The Sakonis Nefashes Deicha Es Hakayil. Why is Sakonis Nefashes Deicha? Shev Shaloi Lo Molachas Man. Because it's possible
to wait,
and it's not possible to mazer nefesh mi Yisrael. Very hard, because it sounds here like if he has a condition that you can't wait, he has a condition that he'll never be able to wait. It sounds like you're supposed to do the mila and kill him. Read the words. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying the words. It says, read the words. Sakonis nefashes deicha sakal. She'ef shaloi lo molachas man. You know why sakonis nefashes deicha? Because the bris you could do later. V'ef shaloi nefashechem Yisrael lo'aylam. That's why sakonis nefashes deicha sakal. Sounds like, if it's not ef shaloi lo molachas man, so you should do a mila and let him die. But his reason is not a true reason. It's not because ef shaloi lo molachas man. Even if it's Yeshalom Eilalachas Man, the Halacha will be the same. The Halacha is the same either way. The Lashon is a very difficult Lashon. Yeah, but the explanation is what's hard. Look in the Gra Beis. The Gra Beis seems somehow to be bothered by it. What? According to this, Shemalahim, because it says only Teshlam Elachas Man, and we know it's not that way. We know we don't. But the reason doesn't seem to be appropriate. It's not the real reason. It's true, but it's not the reason. It's not Mipnei. Some Sefer Netshuva explains it. I just don't understand his explanation. And all right, let's deal with the basic mitzias of a baby who's yaruk. And the you should know that there's a tremendous spread in the Minhag HaOlam in how to deal with it. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach put the bilirubin count at about 11 or 12, under 11 certainly, to do a Mila Bezmana. Once it's Shalai Bezmana, we push it off more easily. But Shlomo Zalman is quoted here in Nishras Avram, put the number at 11 or 12, certainly over 10, under 10 or under, in the yeshiva world, we do a Bris Mila, with the exception, it's an important exception, a baby who's lethargic, who's not alert, we don't do a Bris Mila, because we don't go simply by the bilirubin count. Bilirubin has that effect on a child, and a child who's lethargic, who's not responding in a normal way, we're very concerned about, and we push off the Bris Mila. But a baby who's alert and functioning and crying normally, and especially if his diaper, we see that he's excreting the bile, that is, that his deposits into the diaper are green, so then we do a Bris Mila. Among Hasidim, they don't hold this way. They hold very strongly with the Lashon of Chazal, that as long as there's visible yoruk on the baby, they don't do a Bris. The Sakta Sarabanan about 30 years ago put out here in Williamsburg, put out a Psak Halacha signed by their Rabbanim, that if the number is 5 or 6, you should already push off the Bris if it's noticeable on the baby. they put a lot into the way the baby looks rather than the lab tests of the baby. And in our Naro Pashte, they are different minhagim. They don't do a lot of Bris and Bismana. They do plenty of Bris and Bismana. What it said in that letter was, if it's 5 or 6, just wait till he turns normal. If it's over 10, you should wait a week. It's a chayli, and you should wait a week. That's not what it said in that Hisachtos Kol Kairei. That's what it said.
Is this now, only yellow or red?
If the baby looks terribly not normal,
blue
babies. Yeah, okay. So. Okay. If there are other things, certainly. I guess this is like Dibra Ala Bahaiva.
It's a lethargy. If the baby's lethargic, is it a simen or a siba to push it off?
So I'd like to explain that. Well, what is the reason that if the baby is yellow, we don't rush a baby to the hospital because he's yellow? Certainly not a blood count of 5 or 6, and not 10 or 11. What is the reason? So I have here an article. I'm not going to read the entire article. But in the beginning, he just explains the physical facts regarding bilirubin. Bilirubin is not a first name and a second name. Bilirubin. It's a one word. Bilirubin is a bile pigment that circulates in the plasma. Under normal circumstances, bilirubin is taken up by the liver cells and conjugated to form bilirubin diglucuronide. In other words, what nor happens in a normal person, everybody has bilirubin in the blood, and the liver conjugates the bilirubin, changes it chemically, and the substance is then excreted in bile. Unconjugated bilirubin is incapable of being excreted. So you have bilirubin in the blood. If the liver can't conjugate it, whatever exactly that means in the medical world, thus a failure of the liver to conjugate bilirubin results in hyperbilirubinemia, a term used to describe excessive concentrations of bilirubin in the blood. Now, ironically, a fetus cannot excrete conjugated bilirubin. That's the metzias of every fetus in the womb. During gestation, only unconjugated bilirubin passes through its system via the mother's placenta. What results at birth, he's talking about a normal baby, results at birth is a newborn with a system adapted to convert conjugated bilirubin into unconjugated bilirubin rather than the reverse, which is normal. This results in a buildup of unconjugated bilirubin in the blood, causing hyperbilirubinemia. In adults, the normal bilirubin levels are below 1.5. We're talking about 5 or 6. In contrast, in full-term infants, 1/6 of formula-fed babies, 1/3 of breastfed babies, there are levels that exceed 12 in the first viable week. Now, this means a normal baby, let's say 3 or 4 days or 5 days into his life, will have a high bilirubin count in the usual count. Usually, full-term infants' bilirubin levels peak between days 3 and 5, and infants born prematurely display even higher levels of bilirubin that tend to peak several days later. Now, the point is that a high bilirubin count can be caused by two reasons. If God forbid an adult were to have a count of 5 or 6, he would have to be tested. It would be a medical concern. The point is very simply that there are two reasons that a baby could have a high bilirubin count. One of them would be the normal development of the baby, in what they consider a normal adaptation of the baby into the new world. The baby is normal, and that's the case in most cases. Every case I've ever seen of a child with a high bilirubin count, it's just a matter of time until the liver develops in a way that is able to conjugate the bilirubin and make it something that the body can excrete. So there are what they call physiological high bilirubin counts caused by physiological causes, which are perfectly normal, and those that are caused by disease. Now, it could happen to a child of any age that he has a disease, or an adult, he has a disease and the liver is not operating properly. Our understanding is this, that in the medical profession, a child with a high bilirubin count is not a sakana to do a bris milah, and the bris milah is done routinely. Would be done routinely. Other things are done routinely because the assumption is, and it's true 99% of the time, that it's a normal developmental change in the baby, just like one baby starts to walk earlier or later or talk earlier or later, or other parts of the body develop more quickly or more slowly. The liver, so to speak, kicks in a couple of days later. You're saying it peaks normally at day 3 to 5, so I have a baby who's peaking at day 8 and or even starting to drop at day 8. And for that reason, in the medical profession, it's not considered to be a great any sakana to a child if the child is functioning normally and has a high bilirubin count. Halacha has a lower bar, or call it a higher bar for sakana, a lower bar for what's considered safe. And halachically, we're concerned for the 1%, or the 0.1%, for the small number of children for whom the high bilirubin count may be an indication of a diseased liver, which, God forbid, would be a sakana. Doesn't happen often. But Chazal were chayshes for sakana where the odds are much lower than at sakana. They put the bar much higher, and therefore they did this. Therefore, there are some who will say, don't look at the number, look at how it's dropping. They'll say, all right, the count is 12. What was it on day 5? You know, if it was 18 or 16 and now it's 11, they feel comfortable that the liver is starting to do its job. If it was 11 or 12, it's still 11 or 12, then they're less comfortable. The point is that there's a tremendous difference of opinion, or a difference just in the way it's done. A lot of it has to do with hashkafa, how much to take into account the words of Chazal then and the medical advances today. When it comes to something that's purely medical, we're not going to change some Yasalcha Mishra Sinai because of medical things. Hilchus Treifus don't change. But something that is, as the Gemara says, it's something that happened, not Yasalcha Mishra Sinai, Rav Nosson traveled to Karchei Hayam, and he figured out that there's this condition which can cause a danger. And therefore, the spread in opinion regarding babies that are yellow is great. And people who come to me, I tell them right away that there's a difference of opinion. You know, who do you ask all your shilas to? If it's someone that always comes to me, I tell them what I think. If it's, we had this Pesach, one of the young men in my shir had a baby with a high bilirubin count, and it was the 2 days of Yom Tov. And I had my guy. We have here a good this Israel Madison Shabbos guy who lives down the block. And very, very, he's created, God put him in the world to be a Shabbos guy. I walked down the block, says, Rabbi, you haven't sent me any business lately. He tells me, I haven't sent any business lately. He always tells me, you know, Rabbi, I don't do it for the money. You know, I don't do it for the, he's reminding me that we just give him money. But he really, he's very nice. He's extremely nice about it. And even if I need someone just to go to the drugstore to pick up medication, he's very happy to do it. So he, you know, took the baby, had the baby, had blood tests, and the bris was done right before Shkia on the 8th day of his birth, which was the last day of Yom Tov. It's a shame, you know, they had to have Pesach Tikkah cake, where an hour later, chametz would be mutter, but what? So, push up the suda, you mean. At any rate, there's a big spread in the way it's done. The mile there was Rabbi Zimmerman, who was from the Yeshivisha world. He told me right away, I have no problem doing the bris, whatever number, the baby looks normal, he's behaving normally. And the mother told me that attack on the 4th or 5th day, he was lethargic. He wasn't, and now by the 8th day, he was, you know, he was up plenty at night. He was, so this is the story of the babies with high bilirubin counts, and that's why there's a tremendous spread in halacha on this, yeah. The threshold is the same, except that it doesn't say we're mechallel Shabbos for someone with a high bilirubin. We're just saying we don't do a bris, or we don't do a surgery on such a person. It's interesting that in the Nishras Avraham, Dr. Abraham talks about, says, why don't you at least do our toughest dam bris on the 8th day? So why don't you do our toughest dam bris on the 8th day? So he brings, from the Maram Shik, I believe, that for a baby who's yellow, must be our toughest dam bris is also a sakan. So he brings Rav Shlomo Zalman and said, I don't understand. They're poking him and taking blood from him every day to do a bilirubin test. And you're telling me, Thomas Dambris is a sakana. I don't understand. Just the answer would seem to be that we're going to get to Thomas Dambris in the simon. The idea that I mentioned last week from Rav Chaim, that there's a mitzvah, Thomas Dambris, it says Dambrisech, which is a mitzvah, Thomas Dambris. Thomas Dambris is not a separate mitzvah. We should ask, if you can't do a bris, do Thomas Dambris. Ramashin is Tshuva on a Tafas Dam Bris explains that a Tafas Dam Bris is either a Chelek Mitzvah Mila. You have to do a bris. That Tshuva I mentioned the other day is about the clamp, which clamps the skin in a way that it doesn't bleed during the bris. Ramashin says Tafas Dam Bris is a Chiyav. You can't use such a tool. A Tafas Dam Bris is a Chiyav. In the bris Mila, there should be Dam. Or, if you want to argue and say, what do you mean, Noilid Mol has a Tafas Dam Bris, which we'll talk about shortly, then the answer is, someone who has a chiyuv to do a bris, there's a chiyuv to do atafas dambris. But if there's no mitzvah, bris mila, in this child, there's no mitzvah of atafas dambris. So Rav Moshe says that atafas dambris can only exist when there's a mitzvah mila, or an actual mila, and there can't be a chiyuv atafas dambris without a chiyuv bris mila. How that works by Noilid Mol, we'll get to shortly in Sif, what is it, Sif Gimel, Sif Het Dalid, when we talk about Noilid Mol. There's no problem with a clamp. Where Moshe writes in his tshuva that even though the shoyel asked about clamps that don't do blood, he said he never saw such a clamp. Where Moshe says not to do it anyway, because the meaning of Yisrael is to remove the arla through cutting and not through killing it. But the psul that he says is when there's no bleeding. Otherwise, he says, we're not Mishana in the Tzura Bris Mila, which is less of an argument, which is Lamaisa, but not.
Have a clamp,
what's the benefit of that?
Well,
Perhaps. Rabbi Yishai also is concerned that it's mitzar the child much more. It's even when you hear the description of how these clamps are used, it just gets you riled. You know. But he says also it's a tzar. What? So maybe he's talking about this what I call the Gumko clamp, which all the Pesachim talk about. Yes. So that was the question. Is that a siman or a siba? So that's the argument, that we should just look at the baby. The question is, if we have a better way of understanding what's taking place, whether we should close our eyes to the better way of understanding or not. So that's it might be a hashkafa question, it might be a halacha question, or both. But that's what the issue is. The issue is whether, when you have a better way of understanding what's happening, whether we should take that better way. It's not halacha mishum Sinai, it's a story that happened to one of the Tanoim. So. It doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
If it's very bad, no. If it's marginally, it could happen. If the baby looks terrible, no one's going to do the bris. I mean, unless it's just the shape of his nose. All right, let's move to Siv Beis. Siv Beis. That's why I mentioned the Reb Chaim is the reason. Reb Chaim's idea that a tofes dam bris is a separate mitzvah is a chiddush. The question is how to use it. Reb Moshe says when there's a mitzvah smilah, it's a tofes dam bris. It's not independent. If you write the way Reb Chaim is quoted, he seems to say it's a separate mitzvah from the pasuk dam briseich. However, we're going to see we don't do a tofes dam bris when we don't do milah. It's hard to understand. Reb Chaim was talking to someone who they did the milah. Question is, what about Tavos Dam Bris? Okay, Reb Chaim said a Tavos Dam Bris could be before the eighth day, which is a chiddush. Sounds like it's not totally in Bris Milah. But in Achinami, the Maram Shik seems to hold that way. He said that we don't do a Tavos Dam Bris on the Shah because it's a sakana. So
in Achinami,
Reb Chaim, remember we said, the Ramah said, if you do a Bris early, then you don't have to do a Tavos Dam Bris later. So it was removed already, but the question is how you mekayim atavas dam bris at a time that there was no mitzvah milah should be possible. Siv Beis Isha. This is now the case of Mesu Echav Machmas Milah. This is where Chazal recognized the genetic nature of certain diseases. That's interesting. We today know that hemophilia is passed down through the X chromosome, which is the chromosome a boy gets from his mother. That the hemophilia, the gene for hemophilia, comes exclusively from the mother's side and not the father's side. In the Gemara, the cases are cases with a mother. There are two Gemaras. One is Shabbos Kuf Lamed Aleph, where a mother had two children that died Machmas Milah. The other is going to be, you're going to have it now in Daf Yomi in Yevamis, I think, what is it, Samach Dalet, in Perek HaOral, where the Gemara talks about two sisters that had children that died Machmas Milah, one each, and Chazal forbade a Bris Milah to the third child, again recognizing that it comes from the mother's side. It was sisters, which means a third sister, right? Two sisters had sons that died. The third sister was forbidden from doing a Bris Milah. Doesn't say that if the two sisters had a brother that he's not allowed to. Let's see here, we have a Mechaber Ramah. Isha shamala b'darishin umes machmas milah. Shehechshila kaychay. Very hard lashon. Shehechshila kaychay. The shach taiches kloimen nira shehamila hechshila kaychay. In other words, the day machmas milah shehechshila kaychay. It looks like the bris milah caused the death. Umalu gam hasheini umes machmas milah. Hari huzika shabadeh umes machmas milah. You all know, I think, there's a machlokes in Shas if chazaka is two times, the third is a chazaka, or three times, the fourth is. By Suffolk Nefashis, by Katlonis, and here we pass the Lechumra, that two times creates a chazaka. Loishnami balechad oy mishnayim. Doesn't matter if this woman had the children from different husbands. Now this does not say in the Gemara. Gemara just says, if the first one's died machmas mila, you're not mal the third one. The Rambam adds this. The Rambam says, tamtin ad sheyigdol v'yischazek kaychai. Hu adinim ish echad mal b'nai rishin, v'sheini, u'meisa machmas mila, lo yimal ha-shlishi. Again, this does not say in the Gemara, but the Mechaber adds, based on Rabbeinu Menayach, the same thing on the father's side, the father, v'sheolim yishachas v'mishtaibi from two different women, v'chayshish, the Rambam says, yeshchalkin. Some say, no, it's only the mother's side, not the father's side. Siru dolai shaykh bi'ish rak bi'isha. The Ramah brings that this only passes down from a mother to a son. But suffering the fashis lahakul, who's going to start up by suffering the fashis and be meg. Now, the pishe tshuva hei.
Was he finishing book, the suffering the fashis lahakul?
That we even with chayshish, even on the father's side alone, with chayshish for it as well. Now, in there's a night of Yehuda here in Sifkat Nehei. Those of you who know the style of the night of Yehuda to argue with his predecessors very strongly, will appreciate this one. I am a true night of Yehuda. Tinyanis mukosam achayshe kasa. Al din atinik ben shalei shanim shadai leinimo makvish pischei tshuva hei. Okay, Pisrei Tshuva Hei, the first wide line in the copies. I am Sheyigdol v'yischazek kaychai. Am Tshuva Snayde B'Yehuda Tinyana Kosam Achesh Kosam V'Adin Atinik V'Sholei Shanim. He was a 3-year-old boy. Shadayim Lo Nimo Machmas Shemes Machmas Milo B'Yem Ches Be'emes Ilav Shah Rambam V'Hatur Nebukiyaisa P'Yavavis Amru Shloi Tomo Lashlishi B'Zmanai Elamamtin Lo Yad Sheyigdol V'yischazek kaychai. Were it not that the Rambam says this and others, the Gemara doesn't say wait. The Gemara says Mesuach Las Mila, you don't do a bris mila. And the Levi Yehuda tried to answer, Kivan Sharambam Nukyasim Atur Shulchan Aruch Pasku Kain Miyavay Lahar Rachreim. Like it would only be the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe he would argue with him, right? Says the Rambam and the Torah and the Mukhi Yisiv and the Shulchan Aruch. L'chein imatinik hazeh royim b'yishubari b'chaza k'derah shah kol b'nei gimel shanim v'gamara panav tzehuvais v'la yerukais, and he has a normal color. Yimayla yisai v'tev lashkiyah shiyazman shuzach v'avir v'kedayu amitzis mila shetogish layazik layklau. So Rabbi Yehuda is matmiya on the source for this idea that you wait. And nevertheless, he says to do the bris mila because that's what the Paiskim say. The source, let me just say, the source that the other Achrayim bring for this is the story of Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson went, it was Mesuach Machmas Mila. He said, oh, the babies, yeah, but he didn't see that the first babies were yellow. He said, this baby is yellow. He said, oh, must be, it's logical that the first ones are yellow. So it's logical that if you wait, everything will be fine. So from there we learn that when you don't do a bris mila in a child because of the Mesuach Machmas Mila, that we use logic to try to figure out why it happened and to say that it won't apply to a child that's older. That's the answer that's given to the Nagi Yehuda's complaints as to where this comes from. The question is, what age? So Mesuach Machmas Mila, Baruch Hashem, I've never encountered a situation where someone had children that died machmas mila, but the Pais can talk about what age. No, it'd be who this 3-year-old allowed a bris. Davnei Nezer in a tshuva simin shin chavav in Arachayim quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger as allowing a bris for a 1-year-old who was meisuach machmas mila. Davnei Nezer himself brings rayas to wait till the age of 13. To do the bris, which is not something we're so comfortable doing, but he brings interesting rayas. He doesn't deal svara; he deals with rayas. His rayas are two rayas. He says, first of all, the Yehudim some sefer write that when they give a bracha, that the mesach asmila to do like the Rambam, they say shluchim mitzvay nizaykin. It'll be a shmira. Shluchim mitzvay nizaykin. The baby's not shluchim mitzvah until he's a bar chiyuva, until he's 13. So maybe it's until he's 13. The second raya he brings is from Reish Samach Dalet, It talks about whether Mesu Echa Machmas Mila, such a person, is allowed to be a mayil for other children. He's somebody, Mesu Echa, he's an Arul, can do for Smila. So he says, must be 13. And he doesn't have to be 13. A cotton is kosher for a mayil, although I don't know any katanim that apply for the job. Like it's kosher, but he has to at least have the physical ability to do a bris. He's not a 3-year-old.
That
they're allowed to eat kosher. Okay, Nachinami says it says here. What says here? Kok sherim lamol. Even our early source, she may say machmas mila. So it says in Reish Sabbatah.
So you say that the whole thing, right, the golden mila, it's a p'tur. Not Shabbat, it's at no chi at all.
It's a p'tur, but there's no chi, because when he becomes, you say, because he gets old enough.
Right, you still do it. So you see that the chi, there's still a chi, but it's a p'tur, or anything.
Yeah, nachina.
Does everybody have to rely on the fact that it was yellow?
You know, yeah, you have to have something logical to be tailored.
At any age, because you don't know.
Yeah, no, you have to have something logical to be telling. If you feel that it's a it's because he's a hemophiliac, you have to deal with it. But you see, the raya is, the Aruch HaShulchan explains this, the raya is he didn't see the first two children. He doesn't know why the first two died, but he's using a logical explanation.
He didn't see it.
Yeah, he said, wait till you see the child get better. Yeah, nafinami. There's also a nafkamina in all this. If we know that two brothers died for some other reason, let's say there was an epidemic going around, and he did a bris on two children, they both died. But we know why they died. They died, they caught some virus that has nothing to do with the bris milah. We know they died for some other reason. If we would know... Yeah, no, then obviously it has to be Shashila. That's why it says Shashila Kaichai. Had to be some relationship. But if they die for some other reason, that's not Mesuach of Machmas Mila, we would use. The point is, we have a chazaka that a bris mila is safe for a child. And after we have that chazaka, if something's different, we have to try to explain it. What?
No.
Because don't get better. There's no. The whole hemophiliac condition is not well understood. People think they just bleed to death every time they get a cut. It's not really true. There are a number of the way. It's fascinating to read about how the body, doctors know better than me, how the body heals a wound. There are actually two. There are actually more than two. There are probably 20 steps, but there are two basic binding agents in the blood. There's the initial binding agent that binds or that clots the blood, and then there's a subsequent which allows skin to grow. That's something different. Your skin doesn't grow when you stop bleeding. You have something that clots the blood and something that grows over it. It seems most hemophiliac conditions are not lacking the initial clotting of the blood, but it just never heals because they don't have the subsequent steps. They're missing something in the subsequent steps for it to truly heal. And therefore, it's not necessarily a sakona bishas ma'isa, but in a child where everything is, he just has less blood in his body, and any bleeding is a greater sakona, the sakona is greater. It could be a lesser sakona as he gets older. But having said that, is. What? So today they can give clotting factor to a child. Yeah, today we would do that. Today we would certainly. There's no question. Yes. Yeah. There's no question. You could do it. You could if it's safe for the baby to have the clotting factor injected. Then it's fine. Today they have clotting factor. When I was growing up, they used to advertise to donate money. It was very expensive. Today I assume it's cheaper. So the Gemara says that. The Gemara says by a katlonis, you remember, Gemara is a machloikis. Why by katlonis? If it's mayona garamaz, lo garamaz, it's my nafkamin, ochle ariyo, nafam and agag. That means nafam and agag, we say he died because nafam and agag. If you die from a disease, that could be mayona garam. That could be the disease.
It's two different diseases.
Two different diseases.
This guy was a cancer.
So I don't... Yeah, I hear.
That's exactly what we are saying in the Bavila.
Nachinami. If it's unrelated to me, love, we would know it's unrelated to my Yonagarim, then it could be. Then it could be. Siv Gimel is a continuation of Siv Beis. V'hu Adin, the halacha is the same. Im Isha Mola Beno Meismach Besmila, Gam Achaisa Mola Beno Meismach Besmila, this is the Gemara in Yevamis. Yevamis Daf, I think it's Daf Samach Dalit. Daf Yom is up to the nuns now, right? So you'll get to it shortly. Gam Achaisa Mila Meismach Besmila, Gam Shara Achais, Rabbi Mola Beno, Yom Yom Tinu Achig Vil Chazit. So here there's a very lomdish Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Rabbi Shloime Eger here discuss something very appropriate for the Saint Talamata Levracha. What does the Saint Talamata Levracha have to do with this simon? So look at the Chiddush Rabbi Kiva Eger. Like Timal Hashlishi, Imalu Hashlishi, Hagimel, V'chai. They didn't know the din. Two brothers died machmas mila. They did the third bris. They didn't know that you don't do it, and he survived. Efshur din nispatul hachazaka kamaisa v'timo mekanu laba. Now the chazaka is gone. Yav hachazaka meisachmas mila. But now the third one lived. V'loy dami levestais b'shar hamuid. It's not similar to a veset. A woman is kaveya a period. A cycle. Three times is not accurate once. She has to go three times to be accurate. Shara mu'id, who becomes a mu'id, needs three times to be accurate. Da'aza mikviyaz vest tali milsa. Akalashay merit. What does that mean? What does that mean? Husband gives vest tali milsa. So here is a shtikl Torah that's a staple in the yeshiva world, which makes a diuk from a Maram Rutenberg as follows. There's a chakira. When you have, let's take the case of a shara mu'id. You have a shara. And a normal shar doesn't gore when it's not provoked. So you have an animal that gored once, twice, three times, it becomes a mu'id. The kler is the three times a simin or a siba, meaning to say, do we say this animal was really a mu'id from the first time? It's a wild animal, but we didn't know it. We had every right to assume it's a domesticated, tame animal. Once it kicks three times. One time we say, it's a tzeftzuch. You know, it happened. He had a bad day. Two times we say, all right. He had a fight with his wife this morning. He's in a bad mood. Three times we say, no. We don't attribute it to other things. This is a simin. Not a seba, but a simin that it was always a wild animal. So it was really a mafreya. When I'm a chayiv, the owner didn't have a chayiv shmira la mafreya. But after the third time, he's chayiv. Or do we say, it's a siba, meaning to say, animals that gore get into the habit of goring, just like people who smoke get in the habit of smoking. People who do bad things and get good things also, people get in the habit, right? Nasalaketa, like somebody does Averis, Nasalaketa. So then it's a siba, the three times cause it. Which one is it? So the raya is always brought from the Maram Rutenberg. Maram Rutenberg says in the Gemara, Chazal say that after you say the Saint Talumata or whatever you're switching to for 30 days, you're in a chazaka that you're, even if you daydream, you'll say it properly. The first 30 days, we say if you daydream, you probably said the same bracha. After 30 days, you get a chazaka that you said the Saint Talumata or whatever the thing may be. So after 30 days. So Maram Rutenberg says, you know what? You could just do it 90 times one day. Just get up, do it 90 times. I told her, Avigdor Miller, by Shalashudis, he had everyone say with him, and they said, they said it 90 times, everybody together, and they were kaveya. So Maram Rutenberg says, 1 minute, what's the raya? Maybe the human nature of getting used to it is only if you spread it over 30 days. We say it 90 times in 5 minutes. How do you know that it's the same nature? So the Maram Rutenberg says, no, I have a right from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Richak nigi chaysav, if a mu'id kicks 3 days in a row, he's a mu'id. Kirav nigi chaysav like koshkein. So if it does 3 times in 1 day, certainly. So he brings a raya for mu'id to say 90 times. Now 1 minute. Saying 90 times is a simon or a siba. Why do you get used to saying it? It's a siba. Because you say it 90 times, you develop a habit. So it must be, it can't be by Mu'id. It's just a simen. It's just a simen. What's the raya? A simen that it's wild from time one, of course, if it does it three times in one day, it's a bigger simen. Must be that the Maharam Rinberg understood that by Shor HaMu'id also it's a Siba. It's a Siba. The doing it a bunch of times develops the habit. It develops that habit. So Memele, the same thing, when you say 90 times, say Talamata, it develops a habit. So now you can compare one to the other. It develops a tendency in the human being, or in the animal, or in the Veset, it develops a tendency. It must be it's a Siba. Now, if that's true, then this Rabbi Akiva Eger is Master Kedvash. What does Rabbi Akiva Eger say? He says, Ashara Mu'id has to not kick three times, has to have an opportunity to kick and not kick three times, to break its habit. But that's no raya to Beis Uecha Machmas Mila. What's the difference? They're both Chazakis. The difference is Geshmak. By a Mu'id, he develops a habit. It develops a habit. To break the habit, one time doesn't break a habit. You need three times to break a habit. However, Mesuach Machmas Mila is not a Siba. He doesn't die because his brothers died. It's a simin that they have this disease in the family. It's just a simin. If it's a simin, they have a disease in the family. So it's no raya from Shor HaMu'id. Shor HaMu'id, where it's a Siba, you develop a habit. Developing a habit happens three times. Breaking a habit doesn't happen in one shot. You don't break a habit in one shot. That's Pashit. You need three times. However, by Mesuach Machmas Mila, where it's not a Siba, it's no raya from Shor HaMu'id. If one time, so it's already a raya, that this is not a family where the child is at least necessarily mesukin for a bris mila.
Why wouldn't you just say it's raya? So two died, one didn't. Why would you be chayish for raya? Another child is born.
Because there could be individual Sibis why somebody dies. It's not necessarily a genetic Siba. There could be other Sibis. Okay, the... what? It's right. It doesn't go back to Mafreya. Right, exactly. Okay, okay, so that's Sif Beis and Gimel. Sif Dalid is Noilid Mahul. And I'd like to explain, sort of as a hagdama to Noilid Mahul, is the following. You will learn, those learning Daf Yomi will come to Perek Ha'aral. The big machlokes in Noilid Mahul that needs Hatafas Dambris is a tremendously yesidistic nafgamina. The sugyas in Yevamis Hamashma one way, the sugyas in Shabbos Hamashma differently. To answer, there are those who say it's a machlokes sugyas. The question is this. We have an idea that a baby who's a Noilid Mahul, and I'll explain Noilid Mahul in a moment, a baby who's born, let's just say, it looks perfectly like right after Bris Mila. Let's say, I've never heard of such a thing happening, but let's say you have such a case, baby's born, he looks gemalit, you know, it's got to be Mashiach, right? It's born in Tisha B'Av also. Why do we need Hatafas Dambris? There are two possible explanations, and they're Rochik Kemizrach Memarev. Tremendous nafkaminis, you'll understand right away. It could be you need Hatafas Dambris, like Reb Chaim Brisker says. There's a mitzvah of Mila. There's a separate mitzvah of Dambri Seich, which is a mitzvah to do Bibatif Dambris. If you have a baby, not Mechuyiv and Bris Mila, he's Mechuyiv and Hatafas Dambris. It's a separate mitzvah. Where's that mitzvah in Shulchan Aruch? Right here. In the Sif, this is the mitzvah. There's another way to learn. And it'll be clear that Shach Dalid learns this way. The other way to learn is this. We know babies are normally born with an arla. A normal baby is born with an arla. We don't see an arla here. It may be that there's something called the arla kivusha. Arla kivusha means the arla on the aver is a foreskin that's loose, certainly much looser than normal skin, and can easily be seen. We're chayshish that this aver misdeveloped, and in its development is still an arla. But the arla is so tight over the aver that you can't tell. You can't tell, but maybe there really is an Arla there. If that's the case, the reason for Atofas Dam Bris is not just because the baby may be Mechayiv and Bris Milah and do Atofa, which is true, but also because through the Atofa, you may reveal that there is a double layer, that there's a layer of Arla, however that would be observable, I'm not sure, but that there is another Arla. We'll see the Shach says clearly that we do Atofa, we look for an Arla Kavusha. And that's the only reason to do Atofas Dam Bris. If Eliyahu HaNavi would tell us, this baby, no Arla. That's an afkamina. If you learn that Be'etzem needs Atofas Dam Bris, even if Eliyahu said he has no Arla, you would need Atofas Dam Bris. However, if you learn that it's a chash Arla Kavusha, we're afraid that there's an Arla there, if Eliyahu HaNavi told us differently, then it would not, it would not be.
Well, you know, the bris,
now, so nafkamina is, if there's a bris but not done kosher, that would be a one possible nafkamina, which we'll discuss. Now, as far as the mitzias bizman hazeh, there is no noilid, no true noilid mohul bizman hazeh. No baby today is noilid mohul. We find already the Munkacher, the Mukhiyar Chaim, the Michaz Elazar, who was a mayel, expert mayel, writes that he never saw in his life a true Noilid Mahol. What do I mean a true Noilid Mahol? There are certain conditions in which the baby is halachically very often a Noilid Mahol. The most common, which is a hypospadias. Now, a baby that's born, hypospadias is a condition of a slight, or sometimes more pronounced, misdevelopment of the aver, which is characterized typically by the nekev, the hole through which the urine passes, not being at the tip of the aver, but being usually on the inside, a little lower. And one of those things that takes place with a hypospadias baby is that the arla does not close over the aver. The arla is a flap on different levels. I've seen a couple. I tell people, you know, I'm a general practitioner. I, you know, like one get a year and one gerus a year. And, you know, so I've seen over the last 20 years probably 5 or 6 hypospadias babies. And they come with tremendous difference in the level. The doctors probably have seen it much more than me. Different level of hypospadias. Sometimes it's very serious. Sometimes the child, very often the child can't urinate, only sitting. When he grows up, he can urinate standing, he'll get himself wet. Sometimes it's less pronounced. Today, they do plastic surgery to repair, and we'll discuss next week, part of the desire in doing the plastic surgery is to have the baby's own skin. They would like to keep the foreskin alive, because what they basically have to do is create, through plastic surgery, a new canal through which the urine passes, and that they would like to use the baby's own baby, own skin, preferably living skin. And that's a reason that the question of whether the chi of bris milah at that point is a real chi of, or whether this is a noilid mahol, there's no, so to speak, real chi of, becomes a very important halachic issue. It's important that if somebody, it's a malformation of a baby, a Baruch Hashem, the babies grow up well, and they have, by and large, the parents allow the plastic surgery, and the babies grow up not even knowing that they ever had the condition. It's not something that has to be checked later. It has to be checked initially for leaking, but otherwise, when the baby is a bar das, the child doesn't even have to know that he had it. And the only awkward part of it is the father not making a bracha at the bris. And countless times I told fathers, don't worry. At the bris, just mumble and say, Melech Ha'ilam HaShek Shom Zeh Zivanu Alah Nidh Bishol Avram Avinu, and everyone will say, I mean, nobody will notice. Nobody will notice. So, you know. So,
the
Mayals are good. The Mayals are good at it. They do a bris of sorts, so we'll get back to it.